Comic Con's a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? My name is Nick Stevens. And that's it, because this episode, we had some sound issues. Had to cut it short. So our initial, 45-minute to an hour broadcast? It's not like this thing's actually going out in the airwaves or anything like that. We had to cut that down to about 20 minutes or so. So a little 20-minute conversation. Because I'm sick, too, you know. Came down with a little cold that I got from my son, who's 25 pounds, wearing 18-month clothing, and he's only 7 months. He's huge. And everywhere we go, people are like, "Oh, your toddler is so adorable. Your 1.5-year-old man son is so adorable." It's like, no, he's still a baby. Still a baby. Coming down with a cold. My wife's got the heater on, space heater in the room, so it's 90 degrees, even though it's 70 degrees outside in the rest of the house. Sweating it out, detoxing, you know? And I was struggling the night we went to go see It. And it was scary. So scary that I grabbed the knees of the men that I was sitting in between. Two large men. Because I like large guys. I like to hang out with small guys. Or guys my size. Large guys. Large men for days. Fitting and poetically ironic that my son would grow to be a huge man boy himself. And maybe bench press me when he's old enough. But we hope you enjoy the show, as always. Email us at comicconspodcast@gmail.com with all your queries, questions, and concerns. And don't be afraid to send a few suggestions our way. You know, maybe some ideas for a movie. Or a show you want us to talk about. Rate and review us on iTunes. Check us out at comicconspodcast.podbean.com. Check us out at facebook.com/comicconspodcast. And, you know, that's where we post the stuff, the ideas, and the threads. And this conversation is, of course, the movie It. Scary. Fun. Just check it out. Spoilers, by the way, because we spoil the fuck out of shit. We fucking love to spoil the shit, you know. That's what we do. And don't take it seriously.
The Georgie sailboat, the USS Georgie, yep, goes down the drain like we knew it would. Then he gets got.
He gets got bad.
Oof. What was your first impression of this Pennywise? When he pops up out of the sewer.
It was weird because he's creepy looking, but also almost childish looking. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the buck teeth, yeah, the, like the smaller jaw, yeah, like big ass fucking head.
Yeah.
And it was funny because that sewer scene, everybody knows I'm talking about. Excuse me.
Mm. Let it go.
That double BLT really hit the spot.
It'll do it to you.
But
in your spot.
Ooh. But nah, I was like that. Everybody knows the sewer scene where, you know, Georgie's talking to Pennywise in the sewer. Well, I was like, everybody knows what's gonna happen.
Right.
But I was like, I hope something's different. And then as soon as it showed the teeth.
Yeah.
And then he fucking bit his arm off.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, that's fucking awesome.
It was gruesome, and they show it.
And they show it.
They don't, he doesn't just rip him down the sewer and you hear him laugh, you know.
No,
fuck, too. No, it's none of that. It's the prolonged, there was almost a longer tension held out, too, that made it a little bit almost more scary. Because it was leading up to it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely that. And plus, he fucking bites the arm off.
Yeah.
And he gets up, and you're like, is he going to get him fucking away?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, because here comes a fucking long ass clown arm pulling him back in the drain.
So creepy.
Oh yeah. Dude, I was like, that's awesome.
And it starts off in 1988, after the event with Georgie, circa 1989 at some point.
Year later.
It's in the beginning of the summer. Schools just got out.
Yeah.
We could do a rundown of the Loser Club right now. We got Bill, his brother.
Yep.
Richie.
He's the, Bill's the stutterer.
Richie's the comic relief.
Yes.
You got the Jewish kid, Stan.
Okay, yeah.
He's Jewish in the miniseries, too.
Yeah, big puss.
Yes. And well, he's kind of a puss.
But then you got the
mom. You got Ben Marsh, the chubby kid.
Okay, I don't think his last name is Marsh, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was Beverly Marsh.
You're right. So we don't know what his last name is. Ben something.
Something. Whatever.
Ben from Social Studies.
Inverted nipples.
Yes. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. You got Beverly Marsh, the crush of like the group, the single girl that's
the single girl in the group
that's hanging out.
You got Mike. The,
sorry, I needed an extra napkin.
Oh, you're fine.
I wonder if she's thinking that we're on a date or something.
I know.
Like, same check, you know. You pay for the tab.
Well, fuck her. She got some problem with it.
Hey, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, nothing. It's a free country.
It's 2017.
What about you? Well, I would kiss you, but I'm six, huh?
Yeah, I don't need none of that shit.
That's why I wouldn't kiss you. Not because
we're unbuckled, too.
Right.
So,
not because we're not gay.
No.
But because I'm sick. Yeah. That's why I would kiss you.
Exactly.
Because you'd obviously be the bear.
Of course. You'd be the cub. You know, I'm pitching, you're catching.
Yeah. No, really? That's kind of what was implied. You being the bear.
Yeah, no. I'm just throwing it out in case
you're just pulling my little cub ears and I'm going.
But just in case people don't know what the bear and cub is, so, you know.
Email comiccon'spodcast@gmail.com if you don't know what a bear and a cub is.
Yeah.
In the homosexual community.
Nick will reply with a full explanation.
Or David.
And yeah, I was about to say pictures.
With a roll of quarters in the frame so you can get the size.
Yeah.
Okay, run down. Nope, that's it.
No, we're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Bill, the brother. Ben, yes. The fatty. Stan, the Jew. Rich, comic relief. I can't remember the kid who had the hypochondriac kid. I can't remember his name.
I know. I lost it.
Either way, the hypochondriac kid.
Yeah.
And then you have Mike, the homeschool kid. The only black guy, the only black kid in the movie. What'd you think of these new kids?
I loved it.
What'd you think of the new kids in the block?
That shit was hilarious.
Great, right?
Yeah, they like some of the quips they put in here, and like the comebacks and the fucking banging each other's moms and like things like that.
They don't really bang each other's moms.
Yeah, but like just some of that stuff made it hilarious. It's like I love movies like that where they got the kids and they're just like fucking teasing each other, and you know.
No, it felt real. It felt organic, and it was believable. Like their friendship was believable, and how they stumbled upon each other and met each other, that was believable too. You know. How Beverly Marsh met Ben, and she was the only person to sign his yearbook. Like it fucking crushed me. Like it broke my heart when he opened the yearbook. And there was no signatures in there.
I was like, oh man, poor kid.
You know.
And then it was funny when she took the headphones off him and put it on, and he's listening to New Kids on the Block. It's like, no, I don't like them.
And she was like, hang tough, as she walked away. He's like, I'll see you, girl.
Yeah. He's like,
or, no, don't go, girl.
Yeah, don't go.
That's another song.
Yeah, and then like, or when we're at the hypochondriac kid's house, and he has to give his mom a kiss, and then Richie's like, you want one for me too? Like the fucking, I was like, that's fucking classic.
Yeah, it's classic, man.
I mean, like, you fucking love it.
A couple of changes here that I liked and maybe didn't like, but I wanted to talk to you about them, like concerning the kids. I didn't like how, I haven't read the book, so I don't know this, but in the TV movie, and maybe he'll have a bigger part in that second chapter. But Mike didn't seem to have as big of a role in this movie.
No.
You know?
No.
They kind of swept him under the rug a little bit, which is kind of disconcerting. Like, you know, I remember liking him a lot from the TV movie because he's the one that calls out to everybody and gets him back to Derry. And he stayed there all those years.
Yeah.
Who knows what we'll see in the sequel to this. But as far as he's a kid, he's a homeschooled kid living on a farm, I guess, helping his granddad.
He was, like, after meeting Georgie and...
Bill.
Bill.
Yeah, after they introduced Bill and Georgie.
Mike's the next character.
Yeah.
But see, in the TV movie, he was the last one to be introduced to the whole group. Into like the whole array of the movie.
Well, he was in this movie too. He was the last one to be introduced to the group.
No, I swear he was the next one up. It was after Billy and Georgie.
No, they introduced his character to us, the audience, but like they didn't introduce, but like he still didn't meet the rest of the loser group until the end.
Yeah, but I'm saying like his character really didn't come in besides the opening credit where, you know, he discovers that new murder and calls everybody.
Right.
But, like, we really don't really get to see him as a kid until they
bring him
into the losers.
But they also switched it up a little bit. You told me, you had to remind me that he was the one that dug up all the history on the town.
Because I guess they moved into town and he had, like, a history book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sort of like
like, and it was like show and tell or something like that. And he's up in front of the class talking about all these things, like the factory burning, killing all those people, you know, kids disappearing and things like that.
Yeah, but Ben Marsh, or Ben in this one, is the historian.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a lot of friends, spends a lot of time in the library.
Exactly.
So it's kind of weird that he's a kid just, you know, listening to New Kids on the Block and looking up pictures of dead children.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And another mix-up, too, is, like, the Jewish kid and the hypochondriac kid kind of switched spots. Because the hypochondriac kid, he was kind of, he was the pussy, the one, you know, scared and everything like that. But in this one, he was more, like, outgoing, more...
Yeah, he was.
More, you know, dangerous, you know.
He still had a lot of these, you know, preconceived notions that anything he touched could get him sick. Or,
yeah.
Or, you know, he could touch a rusty nail and get AIDS.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you're right. He was a little bit more outgoing, and I actually like that. I actually liked that.
I did too.
A little ballsy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a scene where he breaks his arm. He just yells at Richie to get the fuck off. Don't fucking touch me. And I love that. Like, again, I really believe their friendship in this movie.
Yeah,
even when they were going through shit. When they introduced Beverly, her dad and her relationship, they expanded upon that, didn't they?
A lot more than the first one.
Yeah.
Like, you, because you got like a touch of that, but in this one, they basically spelled it out.
Scumbag USA.
Yeah, it's like, oh man.
Yeah. And they don't show it, but they infer so much that it's very uncomfortable.
Well, no, he's like, because when she was going to go out and meet the boys, she had a dress on, and he's like, oh, you're all dressed up. And then they have a fight. And
it almost looks like he's about to rape her at one point.
Yeah, because he's on the ground, and he's like, do those boys know that you're my girl? And then she kicks him in the nuts.
Which I was very happy to see. I was also very happy to see that, spoiler alert, she ends up killing her old man, I think. I'm pretty sure, at least.
I mean, she takes the back panel off a fucking toilet.
And cracks his head open, and there's blood everywhere.
Fucking just slams him. Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Again, Pennywise, you said, you know, it was different, it was unique, you know, he has kind of the... When I first saw the costume design of his clown outfit, and they would start introducing photos of him, you know, before the movie came out.
Yeah.
Even before the trailer, I was like, this looks like shit. And they're trying to make him look scary. They're trying over the top. One of the things that made the original Tim Curry Pennywise scary was that he didn't look that scary right away at first glance. He just looked like a clown.
Yeah, you could see him at like a birthday party.
You had to do a double take and be like, wait a minute, there's something off about that clown.
And he's fucking creepy looking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I totally hated it, but I was thrilled about is like how they made like his mouth and the sharp teeth like layered and kind of like pop out of his mouth.
See, I love that.
I thought that?
I thought that was amazing. That's what I loved more about this hit than the original one. And a lot of that has to do with special effects changing and evolving.
Yeah, true.
But while I might have enjoyed Tim Curry's Pennywise,
Curry.
Well, I might have enjoyed Tim Curry's Jim Carrey. Tim Curry's Pennywise. A little bit more in certain aspects. I really love the monstrous features of this film a lot more.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I definitely like how they did it.
I jumped out of my seat a couple times. You were sitting right next to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Like you know, we even talked about it after the movie. Like, when he popped out the screen and it was all big.
Like, he's running towards Bill in
the basement scene.
The basement scene, yeah.
Oh, I fucking love that, yeah. I loved it because it was creepy and everything like that. But, like, the original one, it had the sharp teeth.
Yeah.
But didn't go the extra step of making them, like, come out of his mouth.
What is the creepy thing about clowns? Why are they so creepy?
I don't know. It's like, I think it's from the original It.
Yeah.
It's 1990. I mean, fucking A. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Who knows? It's all these scary clown movies.
It's funny, you reminded me that movie came out in 1990, and I know it's set in like, I think it's set in like the 50s, because when that movie came out, those guys were adults in the 90s, so they were kids in the 50s.
It was the 60s.
My apologies.
I got you.
But it still worked that they changed the years up and made it the 80s.
Bless you. Yeah.
Because they basically made them our age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you saw all of that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's all right. But actually, they're a little bit older than us. Because, I mean, like, what were they? Like, 11, 12 in 88? You know,
yeah.
Were 6.
Yeah.
You know, so they were, like, a little bit ahead of us. But pretty close.
Yeah.
And that's another little discrepancy, too, is because I know it's the 60s, because in the original It movie, these occurrences happen every 30 years. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, they're saying it's happening every 27 years.
And they learned this from Ben's history lessons.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, these occurrences when the children are disappearing, you know, they're saying adults disappear too, but it's way worse with the children, you know, yeah, upwards in the hundreds, and it happens every 27 years.
Well, it's funny you say that, because in the factory explosion in like 1908, it was 88 kids died, 102 fatalities. So you're looking at what was 88, 102, like 14 adults,
5,700.
Just throwing numbers at me.
You know, the townsfolk in this are almost as creepy as the clowns in some aspects, because what I liked about this movie too is that they really focused on the town itself and how that was almost a character in itself, how the town was just ignoring the fact that all these kids were disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, in a weird way, they don't say it out loud, but in a way the town almost knows that there's something out there grabbing these kids, and they won't do anything about it because they're afraid too. And one of the kids, I think, even says it, like Bill, I think, says it in his spiel when he finally doesn't stutter. And he's like, I'm not going to turn your backs and pretend these kids aren't disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, just like everybody else in this town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
I couldn't help but wonder if, like, maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, hypochondriac kid, why his mom doesn't want to let him out of the house, because maybe deep down she knows.
Oh, that's a very good point. Well, and also they point to that fact, too, of when like another kid goes missing and they just slap another missing poster over the last kid's missing poster, and it's like, you know,
so that's almost more creepy that these people could just live in this town and be okay with that, you know what I mean?
Well, it's also funny too is when Ben's getting fucking beat up by the bullies and actually getting his stomach cut, cause he's trying to fucking Henry, the main bully, he's trying to cut his name into his stomach.
Like, dude.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Cause that's like the same, that's like the same scene in the original.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually get cut. But then you have the old people in the car drive by and they just stare and they're like, you know, I mean, if you drove by and saw them fucking with that
absolutely
kid,
slam on the brakes,
you would know something was going on, and you would at least speak up and be like, leave that fucking kid alone, or
right, at the
like
very
that.
least.
And no, they just keep on driving, and then you have the balloon in the back window. Like, is it they're like ignoring it, or does Pennywise have like some kind of like
control over this?
Control, or like, you know, some hypnosis or some shit like that going on?
No, that was good. It was subtle, but it wasn't like, it was subtle and it wasn't in your face with it. You know, it was just kind of in the background, and I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Even now, I think I turned to you at one point, like when they trace all the happenings to a certain area, like how it follows the sewer lines, you know, and they go back to this old abandoned house.
Oh yeah,
to track down Pennywise and confront him. Literally, it's Bill's idea, but they all follow him.
Yeah.
When they get to that point, I turned to you and I was like, even now I wouldn't walk into that house.
Oh fuck no!
And I'm 35. And we could be a bunch of us 35 could be like, all right, we gotta go in here. And I'd be like, I'm gonna look out.
yeah, that's funny, because basically that's what Bill does. He's like, who wants to be a lookout? And everybody except for Beverly and him raise their hand. And it's like, I was like, I mean, I can agree with you, because I mean, I want to go into a house like that without a gun.
That's my favorite scene of the whole movie. Is when they go in that house to confront him.
And that is the goal, because that's when Richie, hypochondriac kid fucking breaks his arm.
That's when he breaks his arm. That's when Richie gets locked in the room full of clowns. They all have their own visions of things that they're afraid of. And throughout the movie, just like the original, and I'm sure in the book, you know, it visits them in various stages of their days and kind of shows them a vision of what their biggest fear is, because he feeds off their fear, like you said.
Well, this is not even the first time they see him or experience him. This is like the second, third time that they actually see him.
But that scene with the clowns in the room.
Oh, dude.
And
Richie, like,
and the casket.
That.
Yeah.
I would have tried to run through that door. I don't know. It's so
it was done really well.
Yeah, it was.
And when I love that scene when he realizes he shows, like, you know, he has hypochondriac kid in his hands.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like prolonging it. He's playing with him. He's toying with him. He's not eating. He's not devouring him right away.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize, like, he really truly is feeding off the fear itself.
Oh yeah.
You know,
they taste better with fear.
And then he stops because he senses somewhere else in the house that Bill and Richie have overcome some obstacle of his and you know, confronted their fears.
Yeah.
To track their friend down.
Yeah, because Bill, they're upstairs and they and Hypochondriac Kid comes out the fucking dirty ass crack mattress and shakes his head and starts spewing fucking blood. And then they have a choice between three doors. Yeah. Not scary at all. Little scary and
very scary.
And very scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, they try the first door and it's one of the missing children with fucking half the body, like no legs.
And then it's just like severed.
And Richie's like, she has no legs. And then Bill turns to him and he's like, it's not real. Not real.
Right. Once they overcome that, and they get downstairs and they say, it's not real, it's not real. I love that scene when Pennywise turns around slowly and he looks right at him and goes, I'm not real enough for you, Billy. You
know? And isn't that the time when Beverly comes in and fucking just jabs him in the eye with a fucking stake or whatever?
Yeah, it looks like a fire poker or something.
Or like a fence, like a wrought iron fence post or some shit like that.
That's probably what it was.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. No, there's definitely some excellent points there. The movie was good.
What was your favorite scene?
Like, I don't know. Like, my favorite scene is just, like, with the kids interacting with each other and they're, like, they're busting each other's balls and everything like that. And then the fucking, the leper.
Yeah.
It's like, has the pill in his mouth and he's like, you ready for your medicine, hypochondriac boy? And he's like, has it on his tongue and he's like, gonna, like, make
that
out.
That part made me jump a little bit, but it wasn't scary to me. It was kind of funny to me.
Oh, it was hilarious. You know? I really liked the basement scene with Georgie and Bill. When Bill goes down there and because he sees Georgie in the water and then Pennywise, it almost looks like Pennywise is using Georgie as a puppet.
Yeah, that was.
And then he just comes. I was like, man, that's fucking creepy as shit. I think I would probably crap my pants, stumble up the stairs, and not be able to get away from that motherfucker because I'd just be like stricken with fear.
Yeah, that was intense. Andy Muschietti is the director of this. Chase Palmer, screenplay, Cary Fukunaga, story, and of course Stephen King wrote the book. Hats off to the guys who did this film, man. I love the tone. I love Finn Wolfhard. He played Richie, and Jack Dylan played Eddie. Eddie Casper is the hypochondriac.
Okay.
Everybody in here was great. But Bill Sarsgaard, man, I think he played a fantastic Pennywise.
Yeah, he did good.
Those were big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Tim Curry's hating him on his portrayal.
Tim Carey or Tim Curry?
That's it, Carey?
I don't know why the tape.
Yeah, no, check that. But yeah, no, I think he would be happy with his portrayal.
What would you rate this?
I'd say movie theater good.
Mm. Being that we saw it the day before opening day, I would agree with you. Movie theater good. If you get a chance to see this, go see this in theaters. And if I didn't have a cold, come on to me right now, I would be going on further into the weeds with this, but I don't know what else to say about this. This movie was fucking awesome.
Yeah, basically you just need to go see it for yourself and email us what you think.
Yeah, and don't hold on to any kind of apprehensions you might have based on the original, because the original came out in the 90s and this is 2017.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's appropriate, you know?
And I think that's where my apprehensions come, because I watched it just last night, so it's fresh in my mind. I'm like comparing as it goes.
So what was one thing, that main thing that you did not like about this at all?
Just how they kind of like switched the kids around.
Yeah.
Like just the
Mike didn't have a big role.
Like the characteristics, yeah. Like Mike really didn't have a big role. I mean, because it kind of like the first.
They
like,
killed that bully, right? That bully fell down the well. He's dead, right?
Oh, he has to be done.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see how the second part plays out, because in the original, the bully is
in some insane asylum.
Yeah, because I think he gets the rap of like killing the kids. Like the
and he saw kids. The and he saw the white lights from the creature,
yeah. And his fucking hair goes white, and he comes back, and then almost kills Mike. Almost kills Mike. He stabs him, with his dad's knife,
yeah.
So, but I mean, it seems like if he comes back or has any kind of role, it's because Pennywise brought him back or something like that.
Yeah,
because there's no way, because he who knows how long that fucking pipe was, or well.
Could we even recast this thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's too new.
Too new.
You know.
Not even too new, but everybody was so goddamn good. I know that might be a cop out.
Yeah.
The only way I would maybe recast this whole entire movie was if you just recast everybody from Police Academy in this movie.
That would be hilarious.
Michael Winslow could be Pennywise, and instead of actual dialogue, he just makes noises. That might be almost creepier.
That's true. That's true. You know,
Hightower could play one of the kids.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, he has to be playing the kid's age and everything, but a grown-ass man.
That would be hilarious.
I don't know.
But, yeah, no, I think you're right. And we've only done this a couple of times where we haven't redone a recasting call.
I can't remember the last time we didn't do the cast. I think it was Kong. I don't think we recast Kong.
I think you're right. Go see it. Email us. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, email comicgirlspodcast@gmail.com. And look, I know that there should be more to it than this, but I'm coming down with some kind of avian flu.
Yep.
Buddy's got to work tomorrow morning.
Yep.
We got things we got to do. We got people we got to see. Yeah. I just lit one up. So.
So don't forget to rate and review us and send us your emails for our next show. Suggestions. I would love some suggestions. I know we got a list going on, but
I would love suggestions too, but nobody emails us.
Yeah. So don't be afraid.
I'm supposed to be getting an email from our buddy James soon.
Oh yeah, soon.
Yeah. James wanted to let us know that we were way off about our analysis of Death Note, and he was a little upset that we didn't invite him because he knows all about some Death Note. In fact, Mr. James Schuller owns a Death Note.
Really?
Book, has a Death Note book.
Oh man.
Yeah. He's probably gonna write our names in it.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know why he didn't hit me up. If it comes to any time you guys are doing anime or Japanese or anything Asian, hit me up.
Oh, man. Well, that's nice to know, so we can definitely pull on.
Look, we're just a couple of cons over here, conning the shit out of this thing. We're just a couple of dudes.
Just like hanging out, talking about movies.
You know, that's what we're doing. Really, it's just so we can hang out. We just happen to record it, so.
Yeah. For your listening pleasure.
And it's senior night, you know?
And if you haven't noticed, we're at IHOP. The lovely background music, the waitress.
Who thinks we're gay?
Yeah.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Remember, at the end of the day, it's just fiction.
Don't take us seriously.